This is Hidden Mickey Guy, Steve Barrett, and you're listening to the Disney Nerds Podcast.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 107 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, we're going to talk a little bit news from the parks, and then we're going to go into our much-promised trip report from when we were down in Walt Disney World.
Were we down in Walt Disney World?
Seems so long ago.
God, it does. Like it was a long, long time ago.
But, you know, you kind of relive those trips, considering how long it's going to be for some of us to go back.
Well, and that's what we're here for, to relive it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know, right? And as you can hear, let's introduce who's on the show this week. First off, we've got Jimmy. Jimmy, how you doing?
I am wonderful.
Awesome. Nice to hear from you.
You too.
We also have Sam on the show. Sam, how are you doing?
Hello. I'm doing great.
Good to hear. And last but not least, Jen. How's it going, Jen?
Good. I'm so excited that we're all on this together again.
Yeah,
it's been a while. It's been since Disney World.
When is the last time that all four of us were, not including when we were physically together in Disney, but when was the last time?
Sure,
all
before
four
the trip.
Of us were on a show. Because even before the
was it show 100 or was it?
Probably. I mean, because even before the trip, everybody had things going on trying to get prepared.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's been a while.
I bet it was show 100. That's crazy.
Yeah. But we're all here tonight, and that's what's important. It seems like it's only been yesterday, actually, when you think back on it.
Yeah.
Although, actually, since that time, Jen's gone on a cruise.
So I was going to say, I sort of forget the trip, so.
So we're going to try to jog her memory tonight and basically just kind of go over some of the things we did on the trip. We're not going to give a real specific trip report. I think it's going to be basically kind of what stuck out in our minds and what's basically worth passing on.
Okay, before we get into that, I just want to bring up real quick, if you guys haven't seen Jennifer's pictures on any of the social media outlets from her cruise, her and her family dressed up like the Emotions from Inside Out.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. It was pretty cool.
You know what's crazy is poor Kyle. He gets her leftover drinks for food and wine. He has to be fear.
Jimmy, I'm telling you, I feel like we need to put, like, in the show notes or at least in the group, there is a picture-perfect promotional poster. He nailed it. He was so funny. Oh, my gosh. So we have individual pictures because we made friends with a photographer, so every night we have pictures. And that night she took pictures of each of us individually, like being our emotion. And for four of the five of us, it took several takes and we got done. And my one daughter does a great disgust. The rest of us kind of, you know, it took a little while to get into character. Kyle strikes one take, and it looks like something that Disney put together. Yeah. You're going to love it.
I'm going to have to see that.
Amazing. It's amazing and maybe a little embarrassing all at the same time.
Well, the good news is about your daughter who was disgust. Is after me and Caitlin went and saw the movie together, and after I'm like, I said, I feel like I'm mostly Joy. And I looked at Caitlin, I said, you definitely disgust. I mean, because that just doesn't change. That's like the perfect for teenage girls, that everything's kind of like, ugh.
Well, and we don't do a lot of, we never dress up. We're the family that's like, go grab something from the dress-up rack, and we're going out trick-or-treating. Like, we don't really put a lot into it. But this took weeks because we'd done a Halloween cruise before and felt like we're the only people on the ship that weren't dressed up. And so when we saw Inside Out, my son loved anger. My girls each really liked, now not necessarily identified with, but liked disgust and sadness a lot. And we had the perfect, you know, mix of girls and boys in our family. And so Kyle had no choice but to be fear, and I got to be joy, and it was really fun, and it took weeks to put together. And I mean, they weren't like straight from the movie, but we had a lot of fun with it. So
it looked fantastic. So I wanted to interject that before we get started.
Awesome.
Yeah. How bad I feel for Kyle.
Yes, I'm sure he appreciates it.
Okay, well, cool. You know, Jen, that is really fun, especially spending Halloween on the cruise ship. Now, we've promised a cruise show for, I don't know, probably about 6 months. And I think between me going on the cruise and Jen getting on the cruise, I think we're going to have to do this really soon. So
maybe
probably in the next couple weeks.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy. Definitely. My family
no,
is...
Really, I really do want to go. So it's not going to take much of a sale, but, you know, maybe we could set something. Maybe that's...
We plan on cruising once every few years, and now we're like, we have to wait a whole year? It's definitely like, we haven't been to Disney World as a family in a long time because there's something special about it. So you have to do it someday.
Yeah, sure, to try it out. Maybe a Once Upon a Time cruise sponsored show or something.
Right.
A trip.
We definitely have a list of topics that we have to get to. Throw that down. There's probably a dozen of them there.
Oh, sure. It's on the list. Anyway, well, let's move on with tonight's show. Now, in the past couple weeks, there's been some news coming out of the parks, and we want to hit some of the bigger things tonight. So Sam's going to start us out, and we're going to kind of move on.
Absolutely. So before we get to park news, I have one non-park related thing, which I thought was kind of cool, and you guys may have already seen this too. Did you see that Aladdin is finally coming out on Blu-ray? Now, more important, I figured that you would. You are all over Aladdin, as is Kim. But one of the cool things here is what's included in the bonus features, because they included a whole bunch of outtakes that Robin Williams had essentially left on the cutting room floor. You probably all remember the story of Robin just going off as the genie, and they picked and choose a lot of different things. And a lot of that's included in the bonus takes, which is cool.
I've seen it.
Nice.
How is it, if you've seen it? Is it good?
It's fantastic.
Good.
It's all voiceover work, but, you know, they do, like, the – I don't know what you would call it, but it basically, like, incomplete drawings to his voice.
Almost a storyboard or something.
Almost like a story, right. You almost see, like, as he's even doing the outtakes and he changes things up, and they'll do it, like, three different takes in a row that are completely different, that he's just – you know, he's just going straight improv.
Which is
so
cool.
It's really neat. It's really – you really get to see how talented he was.
Sure, absolutely. That was always his strength.
There was also a song that they included that was cut from the final movie, which was actually one of Jafar's songs, My Finest Hour. Have you watched that too, Jimmy? Mm-hmm.
Didn't see that one, no.
Yeah, so it's supposed to be a tape that was a demo tape, and it never made the movie. And it's Jonathan Freeman as Jafar with My Finest Hour, which apparently didn't fit the story, so it got cut. But that's why you got to cram additional content onto these Blu-rays and... So the Diamond Blu-ray of Aladdin is out, which is pretty
cool. That's what makes you go back and buy it, even though you already probably have it on DVD.
And VHS before that, and digital copy.
You need the Blu-ray because it
Letterbox, Laserdisc, you keep going right down the list, right?
But it's incredible. I'll tell you what, to me it's incredible because I went to Best Buy the week it came out, and it was on sale. I got it for like $19. Can't so for $19, you get the Blu-ray, the DVD, and the digital copy.
Which is wonderful. Digital copy, you gotta love that.
I put it on my phone. I mean, it's pretty cool.
We actually have a problem. Like, so Inside Out just came out yesterday on Blu-ray, but it's been out on digital download for a couple of weeks. And we see these movies and we get really excited about them. And so the day that they're available for download, we have to get them. And they come with the extras, so that's great. But what we've realized we miss with those combo packs, we can throw the DVD in our car. Like, we have a case in there for the DVD player for long road trips. Like, and we don't have that anymore. And we don't have the Blu-ray to take to my parents to show them. So it's kind of – we miss those extra things they get you. We are almost tempted to buy it again 2 weeks later. We don't, but we think about it for a minute.
The other thing that I miss is that if you – and I did buy one of the movies. I don't remember which one. Just bought it ahead of time. The Last Avengers, I bought it ahead of time, which I don't know if it qualifies. But the Disney movies, I also do the Disney movie rewards.
Yeah.
Which I've got a ton of points. I mean, I could buy all kind of stuff. So you buy the digital, you don't get that.
That's true, yeah.
You don't get your rewards.
Very good point.
All right.
I don't remember where we started that.
Aladdin.
Perfect. That's the news, yeah.
We started with Aladdin. So let's go to some park news here in no particular order because so much has come out of the parks in the last 4 weeks since we've been back. Let's start with one over at Epcot. And we had speculated a little bit into this before, specifically Soarin'. So we know that Soren is getting a new movie, and we speculated that well, we know that they're building the new third theater for Soren, and sort of speculated as to how they would roll that out. Well, it turns out we were wrong, because yes, Soren is going to be closed January 4th, 2016, until, quote-unquote, the summer of 2016.
Wow.
So
Yeah,
you're probably looking at 6 months, which tells me this can be much more than just add a theater. They could be completely redesigning the queue altogether, which I hope that they are.
That queue's terrible.
Right. And that tells me they're going to address more than just, hey, here's a new theater and more capacity.
I mean, it really is. I don't stand in the queue very often, but, I mean, it's just the interactive things, unless you can get everybody to participate, is not very fun. They could definitely do a lot more. Let's just say that.
Well, the whole idea originally from California was that you're at the airport. You're getting ready to take a flight.
Right.
How fun is that?
So it's kind of built in that regards. But you can kind of go a lot of different ways.
Yeah, definitely.
I think actually it's going to be a lot to do with just the construction to break open to get to that third theater. I think you're going to have to do a lot inside for that. So,
which gives them the opportunity to do things much different as far as fast pass returns and not. And anyway, so if you were headed down to Walt Disney World before or for the holidays, you know, you might want to jump on Soren because it will be the last time for 6 months that you can get on it, and it won't be the same attraction when it reopens.
Yeah, we definitely made it a point to get on. We went to just a couple of parks for one day after the cruise, and we made it a point to get on Soren at least once because that's what I said. I'm like, I don't know, you know, when it'll be back up, and then we're getting a new film in the near-ish future, and so who knows when you can ride it again as it is. So
I really like it, but I like Soren. It's probably one of my favorite attractions, but I'm so – I mean, it's gotten pretty bad. So I'm so looking forward to a new film. I think it's fantastic that they're redoing it.
Awesome.
So
awesome.
Summer of 2016 is when you can look forward to that. I love how they do that summer. When is summer, really?
It's so they can do it anytime July, May August. Through September, right?
Well, good news is when I'm there in October for Food and Wine next year, it should be open.
You should be good by then.
That's in the fall.
Yes, you would hope so. There's also a big Star Wars movie coming out. Did you guys hear about that?
What?
Ed has.
I heard that.
Ed did because there were some advertisements during a Monday Night Football game that I know he's watching here recently. Did you watch that or did you turn it off?
No, I turned it off.
You did?
As much as
they kept saying for the halftime. I know. It's coming up soon.
It is coming soon.
So for those who don't know, who maybe listen to this episode but don't know, Ed is a huge Star Wars fan, but is trying to boycott any spoilers or any information about the new movie, so it'd be all brand new and exciting when he goes see it in.
And it's tough. December. It's so tough.
Yeah, it is tough.
It's tough.
Every time you turn around, something else is advertising the new Star Wars movie. And people are sending me pictures left and right about the things coming up. John actually sent me some pictures today. And I'm I don't want to see these.
You want to avoid any toy aisle in any supermarket or any
Well, I've already seen I've seen the odd looking, I'm not sure what it is, Stormtrooper or the new evil guy, because there's a 4 foot figure in the stores now of him.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Can't miss that.
Well, that's the thing. This is the, I've heard, I don't remember if it was just on the cruiser, maybe we talked about it previously, but this is like the biggest initiative they've ever taken to do all this cross promotion. I mean, ESPN is promoting it and ABC, and they're working with Target and with Toy. I mean, the list, I think it was in the cruise, the list of brands that they have an official partnership with to promote Star Wars is unreal. So it's literally everywhere.
Well, they
I saw the Darth Vader shower head at Bed Bath & Beyond.
Yes.
Honest to God, that is not
a
joke.
Yes.
So they literally, during when they released the last trailer, which was for halftime on Monday Night Football, pre-sale tickets went on sale, and they literally broke the internet.
That's so funny.
Like,
did you get your tickets, by the way?
No.
I got mine.
They literally broke the record just on advance sales.
That's so crazy.
And it was 3 months away.
I, I was almost going to say, geez, I hope the movie stinks now. But I don't think it could. I honestly don't think that it could stink in any way, form, or matter. And you know what tells me that? They've been putting out cartoons for the last 7-8 years between the movies, and the cartoons have been exceptional in story and content that there's no way that they're going to let a movie get lost.
Here's a spoiler alert. 75% of the new movie is animated.
No, it's not.
I'm just kidding.
All right, so that said.
Gotcha. What? We made two. We invested in 2 10-minute trailers and made a bunch of money.
That's so funny.
So one of the things that there were two things that were announced that night, along with you can go ahead and get your tickets. And two are really events, and one of the events is happening around the country, which is the Star Wars Marathon. So the marathon event starts at 1 a.m. on Thursday, December 17th, and it is all six or seven movies, I should say, in order from Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, all the way through the preview of The Force Awakens at 7 p.m. Quite a day. AMCtheaters.com/Star Wars is the website, and you will see a list of all of the AMC theaters across the country that are hosting this event, and there are quite a few. In fact, one pretty close to me, but I don't know that I'm going to make it.
Come on.
Would you guys do it? Number one.
I couldn't. There's no way I could stay up that long.
Yeah, and you know what? If it was the old days when we didn't have VCRs and DVD players and Blu-ray players, I think it would be a different story. That would be something definitely to do. But
so,
I'll just watch my movies at home before I go see the seventh.
So this is not the one to do it on, right? I think if it's in your grand plans to be part of it and do something like this, it would be on the 9th one, not on the 7th one.
Well, I'm sure there'll be something available then.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's the one. Like I mentioned when we were talking before the show, me and my son did that. I mean, it's just a trilogy, but we did the Dark Knight series when the last one came out. So that's it. There's no more.
But I tell you what, I think it's going to be more special for the seventh one just because it's the beginning of the new trilogy, and it's been a while since the last movies have been out.
Yeah.
Just the same thing with The Phantom Menace. It was incredible before The Phantom Menace. And then it was a little tempered because The Phantom Menace didn't come across as well as it should have. And for the second one, it was a little bit tempered back.
Are
but by the third, it was back roaring again.
So you're going to do it?
No.
There are still tickets available for this one. Now, what there's not tickets available for, and did you guys hear about this one, the event that is happening at Walt Disney World?
Yeah, they're
It sold out. Like
it sold out the same. In fact, I saw tickets for it Monday Night Football. This was at AMCtheaters.com/StarWarsWDW. And what this is an event that's happening at the AMC Theaters at Downtown Disney, or excuse me, Disney Springs, as we now know after our recent trip. It includes a special lanyard, tickets to one of the first showings, and then a bus ride over to Hollywood Studios for a special evening of Star Wars entertainment and fireworks, and essentially a big old Star Wars dessert party, which is kind of cool. This sold out immediately.
Have any of you ever been to the theater down there?
Yes, yeah.
Yes, I saw – oh, man, what did I see? Don't remember.
I actually saw The Phantom Menace at the midnight showing with a high school group, and I don't know if the theater is
serious.
It's been updated, of course, since then.
Was it a dine-in theater then? Do you know?
No. And then I actually saw that's where we did the Inside Out preview was there. So
I want to say I saw Wreck-It cool. Ralph there.
Cool.
But I don't exactly remember.
Did I tell you my dinosaur story?
No.
Dinosaur like the ride? Dinosaur like the movie?
Yeah, I was on Dinosaur when I was by myself with a group of people, you know, just random people on the ride. And you go through the ride, and you get to the very end of it, and the guy, the scientist, is yelling, hey, you're not going to make it, you're not going to make it. And the dinosaur is holding the tree up at the end to let you through so you can make it. Right then and there, everything stopped. The ride stopped, the lights went out, pitch black. And it was there for more than like the 5 seconds when it was just going to turn on and continue on. So everybody's still in the car, very quiet, and it's like, I guess we didn't make it.
That's so funny.
That's good.
And we were there for like probably 30 seconds, and then
that's
all came
perfect.
Back
like just enough time to make that comment.
Yeah,
that's really funny.
Okay, so for some other news, obviously there's tons of things happening over at Hollywood Studios, but we're going to get into some of the cool stuff in just a minute. But actually, this is pretty cool. We noticed when we were there that the Sunset Showplace building construction was just about to finish. Now, for those of you that don't know, this is the new multi-purpose building that's located just behind the Rock and Roller Coaster. It looks like it's done very nicely. It's a rather big building if you look at it from outside of the park. You can see it on some of the drives out there. But Disney announced a new Club Villain event that will be taking place at this new location. It is a special ticketed event in Sunset Showplace with fabulous performers, delicious food, bewitching cocktails, and enchanted encounters with the greatest Disney villains. So essentially what this is, for an extra on top of your park ticket, $99 a person, you have access from 9 p.m. until 1 a.m. to food, drink, Disney villains, and some special performances. They're listing people like Maleficent, the Queen of Hearts, Cruella de Vil, the Evil Queen, and tickets are on sale now. A couple of interesting things. It's only available on Saturdays right now. And tickets are there. I guess it is what it is. What do you guys think?
$100.
Yes, that was my first thought.
Okay, for $100, the villains should know my name when they come out and greet me. They should greet me by name instead of me greeting them by name.
That said, how much were the last two villains events that were way too small and way not planned out and everyone complained about them, blah, blah, blah? Like those, you know, the whatever those, not just the dessert party. There was a dessert party, but then there was also that event at the studios. I feel like it was nearly as expensive.
There were two. The one was for, it was Villains Unleashed, maybe.
Yeah.
It was part of Limited Time Magic on Friday the 13th.
And then they did it again last year.
And if you remember that, it looked a lot like a Star Wars Weekends type entertainment where they did it on the big stage at the time, still in front of the hat, and they paraded 10 villains out. And there were a lot of complaining that people didn't get time to meet the villains.
And apparently, I mean, one of the things I'm remembering, they ran out of maps, they ran out of merch, like it was just really poorly done or thrown together, something. I remember it being a big deal. We don't really do the villains that much, so it didn't interest me. But I feel like that was just as expensive. So if people are looking for that event, that experience, it sounds like maybe they're at least, you know, improving upon it all the time. And this sounds like a cool, I mean, if you're into that and want to spend the money, it seems like a good experience.
If you're into the villains, we're just past Halloween. To me, Halloween is when you want to see all the villains. Do people want to see the villains starting in January?
People want a fifth gate that's all villains. I mean, people want villains. So
sure,
I don't know. I don't really get it, but I know people do.
It really breaks down. And to me, it's a lot like the event that they had in the castle during the Not So Scary Halloween party, where for another $99,
whatever they called it,
but it was in the castle. And really what you were paying for was the ability to get some FaceTime with the villains and the pictures without waiting in huge lines.
And people loved it.
And if that's what you're all about, then this is totally for you.
Absolutely.
And I'm so sorry nobody can see me, but every time I hear the $99, I roll my eyes and I just start shaking my head because I can't see it. But again, if you were into that, then
so
totally.
You're getting desserts. Right. You're getting drinks. Essentially, it's $25 an hour is what it comes down to. Because it's 4 hours. This is on top of your park ticket. So if you have a family of four and you're buying a one-day pass and you're doing this, that's $800.
With the tickets, yeah. Well, I was just thinking, though, if you're a local or you have a pass, and if, again, like we keep getting back to this, and I'm sure we have some villains fans that are like, okay,
I'll do it in a minute. If it was Star Wars, I might be like, I'll do it in a minute.
But that's it. Like, that's it. I would spend $100 if it was a theme that I really liked. Not all the time, but for, you know, once a year, a special event, a celebration, I would do it in a heartbeat if it was a theme that interested me. So it does sound like a lot, and it's not something that you would do without thinking, especially if you have a 4 or 5 person family. But there are circumstances, you know, like I said, pass holders or huge villain fans. There are circumstances when I think it makes sense.
So let me put this in a little different perspective, because I am planning a trip for early December when I will be there with the family. And Studios is hosting the Osborne Family Lights Dessert Party. And I think it's called Merry and Bright. That is $69 for an adult, $39 for kids. Because this is the Osborne Lights last year in its current existence, I decided to pull the trigger and do that with the family.
Yeah.
And that's probably the difference in having characters versus not characters. And
there you go. It's still drinks. So it's just they're doing it in the space where the backlot tour cars used to turn around. So I'm going to get a wristband, which lets me go in and out of this place. There's going to be food and drinks, and just essentially you're sitting in the middle of the lights enjoying that. I decided I'd do that, but the villains maybe not. Now, here's what I thought was interesting. This villains event starts on January the 16th. Which is the weekend after the Osborne Lights event. So it's almost like they're taking the people that are doing the Osborne Lights, just pick up that dessert party and all of the equipment that you have and move it over to this new multipurpose building and do the exact same thing for the next weekend, but call it villains.
With different, a different group of people, yeah.
Different group
Until you get to Star Wars weekend.
And then you have Yoda and Darth Vader cupcakes instead of – and then Star Wars weekends goes right into Frozen Summer if they do that again. So it's a way to monetize, and at the end of the day, it's a business, and they're finding ways to interest fans and get people involved.
Sure. There's always a niche. They'll find it.
And that's it. You're exactly right. It's a niche. And the niche here is villains.
Sure.
Speaking of Osborne Lights, one of the things that – I don't know if you guys have seen this or not. Everybody's familiar with the hidden cat, right? The black cat that's always there. Well, this year, for the last time, there's an animal, there's a Kermit, there's a whole bunch of hidden Disney characters in the lights. And I cannot wait to get there and see that, and that will definitely be a Sam's Disney Diary at some point.
I want to go.
Are they still doing the regular hidden Mickeys too, I wonder?
I do not know. I do not know. They turn them on tonight, I think, is the first night. And I'm not sure. But I will be there soon, hopefully.
Awesome.
So I do have a little bit of news that is not park related, but definitely think something that Ed is going to be very, very excited about. And I just got it, just popped up on my Facebook. Someone shared it. So, and I'll just read it to you. It's real short. So with Elsa's ability to make snow all year round, it makes sense that Frozen already has its plans in place. The short film inspired by the 2013 animated movie Frozen Fever will make its Disney Channel debut November 29th, just weeks after a version of Making Today a Perfect Day premieres on the network. The music will feature the cast of Disney Channel's Best Friends Whenever. So there you go, Ed. I don't think – did you see Frozen Fever?
Boy, that was a letdown.
What
did the balloon say instead of happy birthday? What did the balloon say? I know Jen knows.
I actually don't. Oh, gosh, I can't remember. Cause when he,
remember
when
laughing my
banner?
Butt off and then, yeah, I remember.
Yeah,
that
I don't
day,
remember.
Sorry. Completely.
It's a cute little short.
It is a cute little. They got the little snowballs. Those are really cute.
Cool. A little snowman.
They weren't snowmen. No, they were little snowballs.
Dry banana hippie hat instead of happy birthday, Anna.
Dry banana hippie hat?
Yes. It's good. It's a good one.
It is funny.
Man, we watched just completely off topic, but me and the other day, me and Caitlin picked up, we rented Tomorrowland, which we saw it in theaters, but we watched it again. We rented it from Redbox and watched it here, and God almighty, there's a lot of Easter eggs in that.
I have seen that movie, and I like it.
There's a Zurg. Mm-hmm. There's a Mr. Incredible in his blue suit. There's all kind of stuff in that toy store. All kind of Star Wars references. There's some Simpson references, because Brad Bird did some Simpson episodes.
Nice.
So there's all kind – man, there's all kind of references. There's a couple of Mickey Mouse references in there. Picture of Walt Disney. So really neat.
Speaking of the Simpsons, I found the Simpson donut in Animal Kingdom. It's in the photo report. You'll see it out there.
Really?
Honest to God, it is the Simpsons donut, and I even put it that. It was in the front of Animal Kingdom with the pink icing and a little bit of sprinkles on top of it.
I like the Simpsons. I like donuts.
I like donuts, too. Don't.
You know what,
hey,
Ed's,
you know what
Ed's a fan of? Broccoli.
I forgot. Tell us the story, Ed.
Ed's a huge fan of broccoli.
Especially as a side in Columbia Harbor House?
Is not a side. No. Not a side. A meal.
Oh, no. Well, you know,
was
it's
Columbia
after
Harbor House?
Yes.
Okay.
So let me just tell the quick story.
Sure, go ahead.
So me, Kim, John, and Ed, all in Magic King. This is the day after the night of the second meet. And we're all in Magic Kingdom. We've done a few things. So we're getting, I'm like, y'all hungry? Let's go over to, I think we were kind of waiting for you to work your way back there or something, Sam.
Yeah, we
so
had
anyway,
a nice
we ended up back there, and we like, hey, let's go to Columbia Harbor House. Kim loves the, there's actually a hummus sandwich there. That is fantastic. So, and you know, so we go there, me and Kim getting a line, Ed and John getting another line. Me and Kim get our food. Well, actually, before we got our food, Kim heads upstairs, finds a seat, blah, 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 blah. So I head upstairs, find Kim. I'm walking around the corner right by the staircase to get, like, some silverware or plasticware and stuff. And I see Ed coming up the stairs with his tray, and he's got all this stuff on his tray. I say all this stuff. He comes up the stairs, and he's got, like, a drink and a cup of broccoli. And that was it. And I looked at it.
And? I'm still trying to see where the humor comes in.
Where? What do you mean? Where does the humor come into this?
This is one of those things where
you
went
to Columbia Harbor House, and your choice, nobody else around, nobody judging you, your choice was, you know what? I feel like a side of broccoli.
I have to say now, I feel sort of let down because I thought this was going to be a great story, and broccoli sounds fantastic right now.
I was like thinking at that point of the night, I was really not hungry, but I hadn't really eaten all day because it was really hot. So I wanted to get a little vitamins going in there. Broccoli sounded great at the time, and it actually was.
That's funny.
You know what, Sam? I would have appreciated it more if you'd came upstairs with a beer.
Well, yeah, that's hard to do in Magic Kingdom, but yes.
All right. So
I was going to say, did I miss something on the menu?
Okay, so
I would never do that.
I don't know who would, but I would have been maybe happy.
Okay, we're totally off.
So this might be a little upsetting, Ed and Jimmy. I hope that you guys had the opportunity to catch the new band in Morocco. Did you have that opportunity? Because they are gone.
Wow.
I tell you what, I did hear that there's a new group in Morocco.
There is a new group in Morocco,
that's replacing them. And, again, I don't know their name, but the thing that stuck out was that the way John explained it, it was like they play Moroccan music plus a lot of other types of music from the area. So right away, my thinking was that new restaurant they have on the lake that they put in there. What's the name of it, Sam?
Spice Road Table, yes.
Right, which is not Moroccan food as much as it is Mediterranean food. So I guess they brought a band in there that kind of represents more of the area than just Morocco.
Yeah, but that was kind of – remember, Moroccan was there for years.
Oh, sure. I love the band, and I, you know, would pass by every time they were on there and once in a while stop. But it was kind of like the background music.
Right, sure. As was this new band, and I don't even remember their name, but they didn't last long. It was more traditional Moroccan music that I don't think a lot of people cared for.
Just belly dancers.
Now, if they had belly dancers, different story.
They might have. I don't recall.
I thought they did this past year. They have the belly dancers.
I mean, they always had the belly dancer inside of Restaurant Marrakesh.
Oh, no, they had them outside, too.
I'm surprised.
Moroccan had them. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, yeah. I don't think this band did, because they had this little bitty crap stage that they threw up for them. It looked pieced together from the beginning. It looked like they were trying to just ease the blow a little bit of getting rid of Moroccan, so they just threw something up there to say, here's something.
Well, at least those guys digging holes in the sand, you know, kind of the lumberjack replacements Canada.
So let's get back to some news real quick, because this is the big news. The big news is we have seen now some plans for early construction at Hollywood Studios. Finally.
When you say plans, you mean like some maps with some circles drawn on it.
Well, we saw maps that did a couple of things for us, and this was shared in the group. Number one, it shows what was considered wetland area that will now become, quote-unquote, theme park expansion. And we saw new areas across the road, essentially, that are new wetland preserves. So this is the first step of saying, hey, the park is going to get bigger, which when you look at it, a lot of this could very easily be pieces and parts of Star Wars land, which we're still not exactly sure where that's going to be, and pieces and parts of this second phase of Hollywood Studios construction, which will be somewhere down the road, and there's tons of rumors. Is it Cars Land? Is it something else? We have no idea. Most important, here's the cool thing that I spotted here, and you guys might have seen. Downtown Disney, Disney Springs, they're wrapping up their second parking garage down there, right? Almost finished with it. And it looks like that construction crew that is doing the construction of the parking garage is going to be moving right over to Hollywood Studios. And in fact, right now, if you were to look at Hollywood Studios from, let's say, where the buses are, so where you get off the buses, you're sort of looking straight into Hollywood Studios. On your right-hand side is the lagoon area, and on your left-hand side, there's really nothing. Well, that nothing is actually cast member parking, sort of behind where Indy Jones is. The way the construction looks to be working is the first thing that's going to happen is over there where there's nothing right now, a parking garage. And that parking garage is going to allow them to move some cast member parking areas and create expansion areas behind Star Tours, behind Indy Jones, and even behind the Streets of America. So that, to me, is really cool. I don't know how long it's going to take, but parking garages at the studios, absolutely wonderful idea.
Definitely. And you know they're going to start thinking about that for some of the other parks eventually, too.
It only makes sense to put the cars on top of each other, give yourself more land. And in fact,
we have all that you have all that space at Magic Kingdom parking lot, too, that is presumed to be more parking.
Well, yeah, the old racetrack, the speedway is gone, right?
Right. Now, that's just a scary thought, though, because the parking lot, when it's full, doesn't that represent a full park? Now we're going to double the amount of people we can put into it?
Hopefully there's lots of room being added to this thing, right? So the other thing that you noticed, and I found this was interesting, when you look at the plans, looking at the park again, the right-hand side is the lagoon. And everything was sort of circled as part of this theme park rezoning, except for Fantasmic and the water itself. So we know they're not touching anything there, Fantasmic or the water. And they really can't, because if you think about it, and by the way, Ed, this is a future show, Walt Disney World's waterways, because that water that's in the lagoon is the exact same water that goes all the way into World Showcase at Epcot. So they can't touch that without major, major construction.
Yeah.
Right.
Interesting.
And you're right about another show, because that water continues on for a lot further than that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And that's another show. Put it down along with whatever we said earlier today. So Studios is going – I can't wait to see some of this start to happen. And if it starts with the parking garage, wonderful. And I also think this means a lot of construction can be happening behind walls. So, in other words, a lot's going to start to happen in what's right now wetlands. It's rezoned, is now theme park construction. They can start to build things that we're not going to know about until it's almost ready to open, hopefully, right? When still things start to pop up. Now, the map also showed a new entrance into Hollywood Studios. So if you think about this, something that's broken at Studios, if you ask me, is where you come in, especially where the buses come in. There's a very small entrance into Hollywood Studios that's by the Speedway gas station, which, by the way, there was the Hess, but all the Hesses are now Speedways. I don't know if you guys noticed that or not. But they are, by the boardwalk right there.
Yep.
It sort of comes in, and it's just two lanes. There's one person standing at where they take your money for parking, and there's two lanes on either side of it. And that they're going to be changing and making it a little easier to get into Hollywood Studios. And who knows, maybe like Downtown Disney, you'll come right off of a highway into the parking garage, which I did this last trip, by the way. Going down World Drive, I made a right, went up a ramp, and went straight into a parking garage. Absolutely amazing. No more left on World Drive into Downtown Disney.
Right. Cool.
So that was off topic a little bit. Or was it? No, that's news. That's good stuff.
That's news.
That's still news.
We lost Jimmy, too, though.
Awesome news, Sam. The only thing I want to throw in there is some of the menu changes they've had at the parks. Pecos Bill specifically while we were there, I think it was the day before we started, at least I started hitting the parks, they changed the menu over at Pecos Bill's. Kind of went away from the entire tacos and the taco salad and things like that.
Or the burgers.
And, the burgers, of course.
The burgers,
of course.
Yes.
Now it's more of a rice bowl type of, noodle bowl type of situation, and a lot of wraps. We did eat there. Jimmy, Kim, and I ate there, and they both had the different things. I think, and Jimmy just dropped out, or else I've had him talk about this. They basically were saying it was good food. It was just kind of like just presented differently. Like it was almost the same thing in a bowl as opposed to being in a wrap. And
well, I'm looking at a fajita platter, a burrito, a rice bowl, and a Southwest salad.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, you know, everybody immediately, oh my gosh, no more burgers at Pecos Bill's. But if you think about it, Frontierland, the Southwest, do you think they were eating burgers while they were going west back in the 1800s?
Oh, sure, they had the cows. No, but I tell you what, the things that made the burgers really good at Pecos Bill's was the fixings bar.
Sure.
So, and the fixing bar is still there, and it's got a little extra stuff because it's now pretty much a Mexican menu or a Santa Fe menu. And, you know, for the most part, it's pretty good. The one thing I regret was I didn't get the Country Bear jug.
Me too.
Yeah, that was the cup they offered there. Last time we were down, they had the Texas, or they had the Woody's Roundup mug for the root beer shake or the root beer float, which is pretty cool. It's a mug in the shape of a boot. This time it was the jug, the whiskey jug. So, you know, Pecos Bill's is still a good place. The menu change was pretty welcome. The question is now, the other restaurant attached to the back of that, is that menu going to change?
Well, it already did, right? Because they have some barbecue over there that wasn't there previously.
Oh, okay. No, I missed it. Cool.
Yeah, which changes things around, which is okay. You know, what I'm most looking forward to is the cantina, which should be opening. I'm hoping it's soft open when I'm down there. The Skipper Cantina, that is.
Yeah, I can't wait for that.
Awesome. Well, I tell you what, we're done with the news for tonight. Let's get into some of the trip review from our trip. One of the things I want to talk about is getting over to Trader Sam's. One of the first things we did, and we made sure we did, was basically once we all got down to the parks, we were to meet up over at Trader Sam's at the Polynesian. Now, it was the first time I had a chance to get over there, but everybody else in our group had been before. So, really, really fun experience. I had a really good time in the place. It's a little small, which you'll probably hear a couple times or from other people also, but on the whole, I had a blast.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And we were talking there. So, Kyle, Sam, and I met up at Trader Sam's in Disneyland not too long ago when we were there for the expo. It's laid out a little differently, but I honestly think that it might be even smaller. So either way, both coasts, it's such a fun experience.
They're definitely quaint. It's small. It's themed extraordinarily well.
Yes.
The cast members are all over the theming. You have to love that. The only thing I'll say that in Disneyland, because everything's relatively close, it's not really that far away. Disney World, you really have to plan how you're going to get there. And I think we all had different experiences in doing that. So if you're thinking you're going to run over to Trader Sam's and grab a drink, yes, you can do that and check it out. But you're going to be taking a few hours out of your day. So make sure you have that time allocated.
Sure. Jimmy, Kim, and I took the monorail over from Epcot because we had just got done with a mixology session over there. So we had jumped onto the monorail, took it over to the Ticket and Transportation Center, and basically walked over to the Polynesian. It's a 5-10 minute walk, and it's a really fun little walk to walk through the Polynesian Resort. It was probably about dusk, so they were lighting the torches, and it's a nice little walk. Plus, we got to see the new rooms, those really expensive rooms they have on the lake
now. The bungalows.
Which are nice to see, although I got to wonder what's going to happen when it gets a little chillier and there's a chop on the lake. Because these things aren't that far off the lake, and if you got to walk from your front door to anywhere, you might get a little wet.
Hmm.
But that's just me complaining that I'll never be in that anyway. So.
That's
sour
what I
grapes.
Was thinking to myself. I don't know that I'll ever find out if you get wet or not walking out to one.
Right. But the walk was pretty cool. And based on the story we'll have a little bit later about the monorail, it was probably the better choice to walk over from the TTA.
Yeah. Now, I have to throw something out here, and this will be the first time that I talk about it on the show. I was at the Swan and Dolphin. That's where we were staying, and had the option of, I could have walked through Epcot and jumped on a monorail and went those couple of ways. But instead, I decided to try something new, which is not Disney, but is available in Disney, and that's Uber.
Yay.
And I have to say, I love it. And here's why. Door to door from the Swan to the Poly was maybe $8 in fare. But when you look at the time that was saved, $8 is a beer. So as far as I'm concerned, it was a great call. I used it quite a bit on this trip. But, you have to download the app. And if you're familiar with it, you know it. The credit card number's in there. Typically, the cars that you're getting, a lot of times they're cast members that are off duty that are making a little extra money by grabbing people as they're leaving their job for the day. But it worked out very well. And it was a straight shot from the Dolphin to Poly, $8 done.
Nice. Best part about that is you take care of all the payments on the app itself. So you know exactly how much it's going to cost you.
That's cool.
And it's not – and that – I'm always suspicious a little bit taking taxis down there. I can't speak the language usually, the taxi driver, and I never know if I'm getting charged legit. Now, I understand that the meter's there and all that stuff, and it's supposed to add up everything evenly. But even just the route getting back and forth between the hotels sometimes changes.
Yeah.
So knowing beforehand what you're going to pay definitely is an advantage.
Well, in Uber, you can split the fare, and we've used it in a lot of other cities more frequently. You do have to mention, I think, that there, we've talked a little bit about there's some issues getting Uber from the Orlando airport, and there's actually a few little quirks in the parks even. We tried to get Uber from Magic Kingdom once, and you have to actually walk over to the Contemporary. And
right.
So there, it's a little quirky, but definitely worth, pulling up on the app to see if it's going to – most of the time it will probably save time and be a decent price. So.
Yeah, if you can't get a cab at Magic Kingdom, right? You have to go over to Transportation Center. So that one's a little different. But I'll give you an airport story here, because you cannot use Uber to get picked up at the airport. But there are ways around that, like people
right.
go to rental car centers and get picked up. But needless to say, I did not. We jumped in a cab to get from the airport to Swan and Dolphin, and that was probably a $60 to $65 cab ride. Now, in comparison – from the Swan to the airport with Uber was $27.
Oh, ouch.
So
big difference.
Huge difference. One where you're almost ready to, okay, I'm going to walk to the airport or walk to the hotel near the airport and get an Uber down. So
yeah.
If you're not getting a car, it's a great little option. And I was only there for a few days, so a car just didn't seem to make sense.
Cool. Okay. Now, before we finish up on Trader Sam's, again, really fun time. To me, it was the flavor of the Adventurers Club.
Yeah.
The own downtown Disney.
Absolutely.
And I would love to really get to experience that again. And you do get 50% of that, because there are some times when anytime a special drink goes out, you have a little show behind it. A lot of the things on the walls move or activate the windows, and you have different scenes that you could look forward to seeing that way too.
Yep.
Singing waitress when she felt like it, which was really awesome. And the bartenders. So, it is somewhat of a show on top of it being really cool to look around, and a lot of great tidbits on the walls and on the shelves and things like that.
Absolutely. You see something every time you look around.
Right. And I'm just amazed about how such a special place it is and how they made it so small. And I understand the California one's small, but something like this, it's a shame they couldn't give it a couple more tables at least.
Yeah, it still could have been intimate, yeah.
Maybe that's what the Skipper Cantina is all about, right? Four different rooms and make it bigger and you get the mess hall. And I hope that the Skipper Cantina lives up to expectations set by Trader Sam's. I really do.
Well, but I got to wonder how much they can actually do like that as far as it's a dinner place, because you want to get people in and out of there.
Sure.
So it's going to be interesting to see how they do it. But potentially it could be something like what's the Hollywood Studios restaurant? The 50s Primetime?
Yeah.
Where, basically it is a show with your waiter waitress.
And then it's as good as the waiter waitress, which is also the Jungle Cruise. It's as good as the Skipper. So there you go. Right?
Full circle. Yep, exactly. Awesome. Now, as far as our trip went, like I said, we spent some time together for the first couple of days. We all got down there, and we did a couple of things. One of them was the mixology, which this year we did the mixology, which was for a vodka company. I think it was Deep Eddy Vodka. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And that mixology this year was it was okay. Unfortunately, Jen and Kyle didn't get down in time to join us, but the rest of us were there. And it was basically the same as it was last year. We were inside the Wonders of Life Pavilion. And we were over on the one side where they had all the displays set up. They had a stage, and they had all the chairs and tables and such. The mixology session itself, I liked last year's a little bit better, even though I like vodka better. This wasn't really as much mixology as it was tasteology. The Deep Eddy vodkas are different flavor types of vodkas that you can add a couple different things to and make drinks, and that's what they're telling us about. Not too much mixing as much as just tasting. What do you think, Sam?
I agree with you. I think just like the comment about you're as good as the skipper on the Jungle Cruise, you're as good as your presenter there. And I think it's hard to top the gentleman that we had last year that was really entertaining and talking about how you mix drinks and why you mix drinks. Although I did like everything that I learned about Deep Eddy Vodka. Pretty cool. Good stuff. It didn't last as long. And like you said, it was more of a taste. So for the $15, yeah, okay, it was worth it.
I think the takeaway there is when we went last year, I think we talked about this a little bit. We were kind of under the impression that Disney had a mixology presentation that was very Disney. They had certain standards. They brought in this great famous mixologist, famous locally, whatever, mixologist. Right. And so happened to be sponsored by Cutty Sark. So they had a little bit of a, you know, intermission, this is how we do our thing, as a side note. When it turns out, at least this year, it sounds like the company that is sponsoring it puts together their own presentation, which may or may not be any good. So I think that's just something that I'm not sure I was aware of. I just sort of thought they'd all be the same with a little bit of an interjection about the product as opposed to, you know, Disney not really having – apparently not having much of a say about what happened at the event.
Right. Good point. Good point. Now, something else that was kind of cool inside the Wonders of Life Pavilion – was they had a movie in there, and it was the making of it. It was the Making of Me Theater, but it was the making of the Food and Wine Show. And it was pretty cool because they showed a lot of behind-the-scenes things as far as the food preparation and things like that. But what really kind of stuck out was how they had meetings about the different vendors and where they would put their tables, how many tables they would need, really, really basic stuff. But it seems like they do hit that every year, and they do kind of shake things up, kind of move things around and such like that. But it is really kind of based on how much the vendor themselves want to spend to bring in for their displays and stuff like that. But it was a cool, interesting movie. I mean, it was nice to kind of sit down and relax for a couple minutes, and so it's worth taking a look.
I would pay to get that on DVD. I would want it because I saw something similar for Flower and Garden, which was like how they made some of the topiaries, and I'd love to get that.
You got to check out YouTube. You never know.
Yeah.
If somebody gets bored and starts recording.
Well, I started doing exactly that, and I just didn't last. That's when somebody like me busts out the tripod and puts it right in front of the screen, hits record. Food and wine in general, although the crowd level stunk. The new hub was a big plus that I had down because it's pretty much open.
The crowd level definitely depended on
when. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Saturday was the worst day, period. I think every other day is fine. Saturday seems to be the bitch of the day.
Well, the Saturday, we talked about that on the last show, too, because the Saturday we were there was miserable, but the guy who was, I think actually said this, like at the little bead shop, said that the Saturday before was two or three times more people. Like, it was just crazy.
Well, that was the first weekend, so that definitely
oh, my gosh,
sense.
It was nuts.
I was there Sunday, though, and it was empty. I was there Sunday from about 6 o'clock to fireworks, and it was empty.
That's crazy.
I just could not believe how empty it was. No lines anywhere. So it depends on the day.
New hub, I loved. Love the new hub, love Disney Springs. Those are the two things that I have. But the new hub where the things that once you see it, you didn't realize it was in the concept art, and then you go back and look at the concept art and you say, oh, yeah, that's what that was.
Okay. Well, I tell you what, guys, we're going a little bit long already, and we haven't really talked that much about the trip. Before we end tonight, let's pick at least one more thing. And you know what really stuck out on my list of definitely a win type of situation? I think the way that the Magic Kingdom redid the hub area is just amazing. Taking advantage of using their fast passes for the fireworks and just being able to kind of expand in that area, I bet in about 6 months you're not going to remember what it looked like ever.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it just seems so perfect.
And as you walk around there, you have an entire outer ring that wasn't there previously, and you're walking through it wondering, how did we all fit in that little space?
That's right.
How did we fit there? But it's other little things, too. And we talked about this on the show before. Right in front of the castle, they built the new turrets on the sides, which, by the way, I heard today are covered with lights to be part of the castle lights for Christmas.
Cool.
Oh, the ice.
Yeah, and I was wondering if they would do that, and they absolutely did. But if you think back, that used to be a little – I don't want to call it counter service, but there was a popcorn cart and an ice cream cart sort of under there where you could buy things. And then if you spun around the hub on the other side, there was another small one sort of coming off of Main Street. You could grab that popcorn for the parade. In the outer ring of this new hub, they built two huge areas for popcorn carts and ice cream stands and drink stands. And they're twice the size of the ones that used to be in the inner hub. And you wouldn't even notice them unless you were looking for them. They look like they've been there since day one.
Nice.
I look at this and I go, this is incredible. So you have the new turrets, the castle looks bigger, and you have things out in another ring. You walk through there and go, wow. You can get around the hub while the parade is going on. Is that crazy?
Well, and you kind of hit on it a little bit. I remember when the concept art came and all the walls were up, and it was just sort of, you know, it looked like it might be nice, but gosh, it's going to be so different. And are they going to do, you know, is it going to be weird? It looks kind of like the expansions. I mean, completely different feel, but the expansions at Animal Kingdom and both that and the hub, it just sort of feels like it's always been that way. I mean, we might remember how it was, but it's so well done that it doesn't feel like, oh, they chopped down a bunch of stuff and expanded the hub so that more people could get through. It just looks great, and it feels natural. Yeah. I love it.
Absolutely agree. Completely agree. One of the things I loved, Ed, if I'll bring up one plus here, I absolutely love the way Disney Springs is transforming.
Yeah.
I am so happy with the boathouse and Jock Lindsay's and the food trucks and just the entire thing, and to see where Marimoto's is, and I haven't eaten there yet, but I can't wait to get in there, and STK's next to that. Just Disney Springs is absolutely becoming a must-do more than it used to be, because it was always a pain in the butt to get down there. But as the second parking garage is getting finished and the ramps there to get off of the highway and the new bus location will be opening soon, all of these things are going to add to a great experience at Disney Springs. It's absolutely awesome.
And that's the natural progression. I mean, something new is always going to be exciting until you explore it. And I'm looking forward to it. The construction out front, that's been the big hindrance as far as this goes. Hopefully next time I get down there, that'll be not an issue.
Yeah, it's the new parking garage and the huge area next to Raglan Road, which is still completely surrounded by walls. That will be the new bus drop-off and a bunch of new retail stores inside there. Because remember, when this is all said and done, there's going to be one bus stop. And it's a huge bus stop right in the center between the two parking garages. So today it's sort of a drag because you got to go to the old downtown Disney Marketplace bus stop, which is just crowded as can be and a pain in the butt to get to. But once that gets moved, I think they're really on to something here.
Oh, definitely. Now, as we come up with all these different ideas for shows down the road, I have another one. And we're going to have to go over the whole downtown Disney what they've done there.
Yes.
Because every time they open a new restaurant, it seems like it's the most expensive restaurant on property. And I want to see exactly, well, what did they bring in there? What did this renovation bring to us? Is it all just really high-priced places and they're trying to up the island's credibility that way? Or is it just basically a general update all the way around? So definitely something to look into.
I do think, just as a quick note, like I think that what they've done a really nice job of is making it a more cohesive theme as opposed to like three chunky sections. And even then you can't quite tell what's supposed to be in which section. And they have the neighborhoods like the Landing and different parts like that, but it feels more fluid, I guess, going from each section. But I do think all these big names are bringing in big, expensive restaurants with great theming. But they also have like a Blaze Pizza, which is we have down the road, and it's like a $7, 11-inch personal pizza. Like, I think they're bringing in a bunch of different things that just aren't getting as much press. So that's definitely a good show to have in the future.
Mm-hmm. Agree.
Awesome.
Awesome. Yeah, that'll be fun.
Okay, well, I tell you what. That is it for this week. If you might have noticed, you might not have noticed. Unfortunately, Jimmy's call dropped out halfway through the show. But if he was here, he would start giving the information that Sam's going to give you right now about how to get in touch with us.
Hey, make sure you check out the website, thedisneynerdpodcast.com, and we're looking forward to your feedback. Send your questions to questions@thedisneynerds.com. You can reach each of us, Sam, Jen, Jimmy, and Ed, at the Disney Nerds, the Facebook group, Disney Nerds. Thank you guys so much for the time. It's always great to get your feedback. And, hey, iTunes, give us a review. We're always looking for that and ideas for future shows. So thank you so much, and Kongaloosh.
See ya.
Okay, guys, we'll see you later. Bye-bye.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in